Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
When we come into union with Christ, what happens to Christ is credited to have happened to us. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we also were raised into a newness of life. So he says, now we should walk in the newness of life.
I will no longer die to what he died to. Because he died, I'm no longer in my sins. Because he died, I can never be sick. Because he died, I can never be poor. Because he died, I can never be under a curse. Because he died, I can never be a prey to the fowler. My soul has escaped. Through his blood,
step into the world of infinite possibilities as you listen to Pastor David Ibichukwu today.
Lift your hands. Thank the Lord for his unconditional love. Thank the Lord for his unconditional love. Thank the Lord for his blessings, for his grace and his mercy towards us. Libra de Calere Brados and the Libra Nicaneza. Lire the Zunda Libra Gatea Cadela Lunda Zunda Libra Gataya. Libra de Zunda Libra Gatea Caladeus Sotaya. Lire the Sote in the Caride Sopraica Tashka Bayenda. Lire the Sunda Libra Gatea Caradeus Apahata. Father, we give you all the glory and we give you all the praise. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we worship. Spirit of the living God, our hearts are open in this moment. Speak to us. Do your pleasure. Walk that which is pleasing in your heart and in your sight, in our heart. Walk that which is pleasing in your sight, in our heart. For it is you who walk in us both to will and both to do for your good pleasure. Let your will be established. Let your will prosper in this place, in the hearts and in the lives of everyone, every worshiper. Thank you, Father. We give you all the glory. We receive light by your word. We receive life by your word. We receive strength by your word. And we take delivery of our glorious inheritance in Christ by your word. The blessings of your favor rest on us today by your word. We give you praise. Do a perfect work. Communicate wholeness, Lord, here today. Let there be distribution of diverse gifts. We give you praise, Father. In Jesus' precious and mighty name, we have prayed. And let the people of the Lord shout a very big amen. Amen. If you're excited to be in the house of the Lord, I want you to begin to rejoice. Give the Lord a mighty praise. Come on. Give the Lord a mighty praise. Come on. Give the Lord a mighty praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Welcome everyone by your side. Make sure that nobody will remain a stranger by your side, to your left and to your right. Let them know how excited you are that they are in church with you today. Once again, I want to apologize, especially for those of you who might be new in church. And I don't know, for those of you watching online, maybe they will capture some of these things. We are renovating the hall. It's taking us quite a little time, but we are doing it as fast as we can. Praise the Lord. If you know that God is moving mightily in your favor in this season. Give him a mighty praise. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We started dealing with the blessings of favor. We have looked at different things, the charge to open us up to God's favor. We have looked at the sending the season of favor. We have looked at having a broader perspective about this set time of God's favor. We have looked at the purpose of favor. And we have looked at the weapons of favor. Now we are on the blessings of favor. And that's what we've been doing since this month. Somebody say, good, hallelujah. And I have given us about 5 major blessings. You know, I was to come in here and begin immediately on keys. But I was reminded that I told you I'm going to give you 15 different expressions of the blessings of favor. So you can look out for it. Expect it. You can confess it over your life. You can exercise your faith to obtain it. Somebody say, I hear. All right. So those of you that have your notes and you've been working on notes, the 5 blessings of favor, can you remind me the first one and read it out so loud so your neighbor can hear? Want to go? What's the first one? Divine favor makes you an irresistible attraction for good. Divine favor makes you an irresistible attraction for good. So you attract good and you repel evil. The second one is what? I'm not hearing you. Favor makes you what? Accepted. It gives you unusual acceptance. You're going to notice that there is a godly, not cultish, but godly loyalty and heart commitment to you. People just accept you. They are loyal to you. They are committed to you. And it's godly. It's not for anything else. It's not because you are deceiving them. It's not because you're manipulating them. It's not because you are giving them things. It's not psychophancy because they want to be by your side because you represent certain things to them. Maybe you're in positions of power and or you have visibility or you are an influencer or you have wealth or whatever it is. No, they genuinely love you. They are loyal to you. And it's unusual because many of them, you won't even understand why. You keep wondering why. I told you that when it's about favor, divine favor, it's unusual. When it's about divine favor, it's unusual. What's the third one? Continue. Favor makes you what? Preferred. Favor makes you preferred. There'll be sort of a biased preference to you. And reference to you too. Favor puts you in front before others. And people prefer you. So whenever you say, I'm favored, we are saying I'm preferred. Lift your hands and shout, I'm preferred.
I'm preferred.
Say, I'm preferred.
I'm preferred.
Say, God chose me.
God chose
so people choose me. I may not sound and may not raise my voice very loud today, but please raise your own voice. I'm telling you, raise your own voice. Speak with audacity. Lift those hands again and shout. Say, I'm preferred.
I'm preferred.
Say, God chose me.
God chose me.
And men choose me.
Amen.
Say, God chose me.
God chose me.
Say, I didn't choose myself.
I
didn't even choose him first. Say, he favored me.
He favored
and chose me. Say, therefore men choose me. Say, I'm always preferred. If you believe that and it's not just mere words to you, shout your loudest, amen. And the fourth one we said is what? Favor makes you a pleasant and a delightful land. People just like you. People are pleased with you, happy with you. People enjoy your presence and they are satisfied with your works. You're just a pleasant and a delightful land. When you come into a place, people just lighten up. When people enter your presence, something shifts about them. Their mood changes. You're a delightsome lamb. And that's part of the things that make you attractive. Make you a good attraction. Somebody hear me what I'm saying? And there are two key things that is responsible for that. One is the beauty of the Lord. The beauty of the Lord. You can also call it the glory of the Lord. So the scripture says in Isaiah chapter 60 verse 1, arise, shine, for your light has come. You see, the light of God comes from his glory. The glory of God radiates light. For your light has come. And then it says, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Say with me, the glory of the Lord is risen upon me. Shout it louder. Say, the glory of the Lord is risen upon me. And then the scripture says, behold, it said, darkness will cover the earth. And behold again, gross darkness, the peoples, in verse 2. Put it on the screen for us. In verse 2, gross darkness, the people. Say, but the Lord will arise over you. This is where it comes from. And his glory will be seen. That's what makes you an attraction. So it's not a dormant glory. It's a shining glory. It's not a dimmed glory. No, it's a radiant glory. The glory of the Lord will be seen. It won't just be what you are saying. It will be what others will be seeing. What others will be seeing. And what will be the result when the glory of the Lord is risen upon us and the glory of the Lord is seen upon us? The result is in verse 3. See what happens in verse 3. And everybody read verse 3. 1, 2, go. The Gentiles. What's another name for the Gentiles? The nations. The nations shall what? Come to your light. And kings to what? The brightness of your rising. Raise your hands. Say, nations are coming to my light. Remember, you exercise your faith one way by speaking. Speaking with a believing heart. You speak from a believing heart. You utter those words. Come on, say it again. Say, kings are coming to my light. Nations are coming to my light. Nobles are coming to the brightness of my rising. Say, in the name of Jesus, I'm radiating God's glory. I'm a shining glory. In the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. You see, when you are a delightsome land, and let's get to Malachi chapter 3 verse 10, and I will read it down to verse 12. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this. It said, prove me now. How many of you have proved God in this? Many of us have proved him for years. And we have no regrets. We have testimonies upon testimonies. He said, prove me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing. Somebody say such blessing. Come on, say such blessing. So he's not talking about blessings. He's talking about blessing, singular. That there will not be room enough to receive it. I will pour out for you such blessing. And have told us that the blessing of the Lord is not physical. The blessing of the Lord is not natural. It impacts the natural. It brings forth the physical. But the blessing of the Lord is spiritual. You must know that. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual what? Blessing. Not blessings, blessing. So when you see blessings in plural, those are just the fruit of the blessing. So he said, God blessed me with a house. The house is not the blessing. The house is the outcome of the expression and the expression of that, of the workings of the blessing on your life. So what God gives is not the houses. What God gives is the blessing. So let's get back to Malachi. So everybody say every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. So it's a spiritual and it's in the spiritual realm. The blessing is the spiritual empowerment that causes a man to prosper, to be fruitful, to live out the will of God for your life. And that's the will of God for us, to be fruitful. So when he blessed man, he said, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and then subdue it. That's the will of God. That spiritual empowerment. So he said, I'll open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. I'm hearing someone is enjoying in this season such blessing that you will not have room enough to contain it. You will not have room in love to contain it. You see, two seasons are merging together. The Spirit of the Lord spoke to me about the IFPC. And then as we are ending October, entering November, he spoke to me about fearful favor. Well, fearful favors. And the IFPC has already told me it's going to be the overflow. So by the reason of the favor working on our lives, we are going to be experiencing the overflow. Yes. Someone is catching it, and I'm grateful to God someone is getting it. And I'm not just saying you're understanding, someone is receiving it. Verse 11. He said, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. He said, that's one of the things God taught me many years. He said, son, there will be moments that you'll be required to exercise your authority over and against the enemy. And there will be moments like that. And there are the moments I will move in your heart to stand up and exercise that authority and dominion over foul spirits, evil spirits, to bind the works of the enemy, to bring to naught the machinations of the devil. He said, there will be moments like that. He said, but if I have to move you to deal with everything the enemy is doing in your life, you'll be very distracted. That means you will wake up every day And all you're going to be focused on is binding and casting and dealing. You see, because the enemy walks over time. He moves around like a roaring lion, to and fro. The only work he has, seeking whom to devour. He said, you'll be very distracted. You won't have time and you won't have the focus and the concentration to move in the path I've ordained for you. To move in fulfilling the mandate I've placed on your life and the things I've commissioned you to do. He said, so let me explain two things. He said, there are many more times when the enemy comes, I, like a flood, will rise for your sake and set a standard. He will not be permitted to touch you. He will not be permitted for any reason. He said, there will be these moments in your life that it is me that will be rebuking the devourer for your sake. And I will be your rear guard. Why your rear guard? Because I want you to face front. So I'll be in a place where I have your back. He said, in those moments where you notice I'm not moving in your heart, I'm making you conscious. If you notice I'm not making you conscious of the operations of the wicked, he said, don't think anything is going wrong. Always remember I've got your back. Face front. If you know the blessing that you enjoy when you become a covenant practitioner, you're now dealing with God on the terms of covenant. Meaning, Lord, you said this. You said this, and by this contract, this contract ratified by the blood of your son Jesus Christ. This oath you've sworn by yourself, because there is no one greater that you can swear by. By this contract, that if I bring all my tithe, you will do this one. I'm in contract with you. I'll give you all my tithe, and not by compulsion. Not by coercion. Not because I'm afraid I'll be cursed. Because I already know I'm not cursed. I already know that Jesus Christ became a curse for me on the cross and hung. I already know I'm redeemed from every kind of curse. And I'm redeemed into the inheritance of the blessing. I already know I've been brought into that. But I understand principles. Nothing just happens. I can go on and on and be shouting, I'm blessed, I'm blessed. If I don't meet the contract, I don't enjoy the goods of it. And you're that kind of person. And you God can count on you. Like Jacob. Jacob didn't live under the law. There was no law of Moses when Jacob was alive. The law of Moses will come over 400 years after that. So there was no law of tightness under the law. No. No law. Just promise. Somebody say promise. And that's why our faith is likened to the faith of Abraham. Because Abraham believed God not by law, but by promise. By promise. So the Bible said, those who are of the faith of Abraham. That's how our faith in the new creation is patterned. Somebody say, of the faith of Abraham. Abraham didn't have any law that he had to be subjected and be afraid. No. Just by an understanding and the discernment of spiritual matters. So Jacob said, I vow that if you will watch over me on this journey and bring me back and restore me back to the inheritance of my fathers, I vow I'll give you all the tithes of all that you give to me. Somebody say covenant. Bring God to that place. Stop playing with God anyhow. recklessly, carelessly. When you don't understand the seriousness and integrity of covenants, you will begin to abuse favor, love, and grace. You know, my wife loves me, and I know that very well. I love her, she knows that very well, by the grace of God. And that doesn't mean that I don't know the things she does not like. And that doesn't mean that I don't know the things that she likes. And that doesn't mean that when I do the things that she likes, even though I may just feel like because she loves me, she will forgive me, that that's going to please her heart. You see, some people have become careless and reckless with their dealings with God because of God loves me unconditionally. And it's not going to stop the love that God has for them. Because man's faithlessness will never make God deny himself. God is ever faithful. Ever, forever. His mercy endures forever. It's not going to stop God from being merciful. But it's going to stop the man from enjoying the best. You see, if I become careless with my relationship with her, and she's just forgiving me, and because she's forgiving me, I won't get the best out of the relationship I have with her. Because if she's pleased with me, she will give me the best of herself. So many Christians are struggling. So many Christians, so many pastors, so many well-meaning leaders in the church, so many people who serve, workers in the church, people who love the Lord and they do so because they are very careless. They are transgressors, not in terms of sinfulness, but transgressors because they are violators of principles. Violators of principles. So see what God taught me, especially about tithing, and it changed my life. The Lord told me, said, son, if you begin to live your life from the position of fear, he said, then you act like a slave. You have the spirit of slavery and bondage at work. You act like a slave. So, and there are people that they never get to be serious and they never get to do the right thing and they never get to do the wise thing unless there is a danger of something that will work against them. A danger of they are going to be disciplined. A danger of something is going to go wrong. So, fear is what rules their heart, and fear is what motivates them only. And if you want to, if you are smiling with them, loving on them, giving them a free hand, giving them liberty, they take it for granted. And they start misbehaving, they become careless, and they become callous, and they become reckless. They act anyhow. But the moment you bring in the hammer, you bring down the hammer, and you become serious and you want to, once you threaten them and you say, you won't do this, you won't do that, suddenly they are motivated. Suddenly they start gathering themselves. They live like slaves. So there are people that if it were to be that if you don't give your tithe, you are cursed with a curse, they would have been tithing. Because they are ruled by fear. Fear is the only thing. And the Lord told me, he said, you're a son, not a slave. He says, sons are not ruled by fear. Sons have liberty. Sons are free. They are not brought into bondage. They are brought into the liberty of God. They are free. Sons have the boldness and the confidence of their father's love. They have the boldness and the confidence of their heritage. They have an inheritance in their house. He says, son, and the Lord was teaching me. He said, don't be those kind of people. Don't be among them. The Christians that only when something is going to go wrong, when things become painful, when there is fear of, that's when they become serious. Don't be that. He said, be the son that what motivates you is the blessing. The right you have in your father's house. Be that kind of person. That what motivates you to do things is not the fear of what will happen if you don't do it, but the blessing of what will happen when you do it. Let the blessing motivate you. So look at the point. If you don't tithe, and if you don't put God first, and if you don't circumcise the things that the Lord gives to you in that pattern, in that principle, where God comes first, like Proverbs chapter 3 verse 9 puts it, he said, honor the Lord with your what? Substance. And honor means put him first. Put him first. He has to, and that's what tithing is about. It's about putting him first. That God has to come first. That his needs, that the his house, that the things that have to do with his mission, the gospel, souls, things that God is concerned about will have to come first. And when you don't do that, honor the Lord with your substance and the first fruits of all your increase. When you don't do that, under the New Testament, it's not that you are cursed. Because God cannot curse the man he has already blessed. So it is not the fear of the curse that makes new creations tight. No, that's what made the people under the law tight. Because they didn't have any relationship with the Father. They didn't even know the love of the Father. They knew God who was tough and the judge. If you do this, you're blessed. If you don't do this, you're cursed. What makes new creations tight is first of all the relationship they have, the love they have for God, the affection they have. They take pleasure in the stones of Zion. They love the prosperity. David puts it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 29. He said, for the affection I have for the house of God. He said, the affection I have towards the house of God. That should be 29 verse 3. The affection, because of the affection, the love, the compassion you have. You want to see the church of God grow. You want to see the things that are happening. You want to see more souls saved. You want to see the word of God get to more people. The way you are being blessed by your church, you want more people to be blessed. You want to see more outreaches. You want to see this thing go into the media. And because of that, he said, because I have set my affection on the house of God, not just God, his house. Because you can't love God and hate his house. He said, I have given to the house of my God over and above all that I have prepared. Over, somebody said, over and above. Come on, shout it louder. Say, over and above. Somebody shout it, say, over and above. All that I have prepared for the holy house, my own special treasure of gold and silver. I told you, I said, it's not he who has the most that gives the most. The people that give the most are those who love the most. So that's where it starts from. Then secondly, what motivates the new creation is covenant. He knows that God's prosperity plan in the scripture is a covenant thing. He knows it. I give you the power to make wealth. It's me. So you remember me. For a reason, I want to establish the covenant I made with your fathers.
is that covenant that brought Jesus. Is that covenant that Jesus came to fulfill. That's the covenant. So God's prosperity plan is a covenant thing. Somebody say covenant thing. He has an understanding of the mysteries. The keys of the kingdom has been given to him. To him is granted to understand and know. He understands it. He has read the scriptures. He knows. That is the will of God for him to give. And it's the will of God for him to give by faith, not by fear. To give cheerfully, not by compulsion. To give as he has proposed in his heart, not by coercion. So in his heart, he knows that. And he knows that there are certain things that he will never assess until he keeps the deal of the covenant. He's not a child. He said, when you're a child, you cry, they give you food. When you're a child, you cry, they get you what you want. After a while, the person that used to cry in the same father's house and they give you food, your mother will be going out and tell you, make sure you cook food for me and your father before I come back. But you are the same person that when you cry, they gave you food. Now, the same father, the same mother, the same love is now demanding you cook. You see, the Christianity that is void of what is my responsibility is fake. Did you understand that? You must always ask, what's my role? What's my responsibility? So, when I read that scripture, Malachi, get back to chapter 3, verse 11. When I read that scripture, I'm not thinking about whether I'll be cursed. I know I can never be cursed. And if I ever made a mistake of not giving my tithe or overtaken by the temptation of greed or something, and I didn't give my tithe, or fear, and I just didn't know, and I didn't give that. I know I'm not cursed because of that. My concern is not whether I'm cursed. My concern is, am I triggering the blessings? Am I activating the things that are supposed to work for me? Am I exercising faith? Because whatever God gives is spiritual. It's my faith that receives it. And faith works in three core ways. One, you believe in your heart. Two, you speak with your mouth. And three, you act. Faith without works, corresponding action, is dead. So when it comes to receiving the blessing that ministers prosperity, fruitfulness, abundance, there is a corresponding action. God wants me to tithe, so I tithe. My tithing makes supply for his house. So I do it joyfully. And what I'm doing is that now I'm acting what I'm told to act. I can now take what he has promised. Simple. So my focus is the Spirit of the living God. The windows keep open over me. Ministering to me such abundance. I'll never be in a time and in a place and under any circumstance and not have abundance for what I need or for what I want. Both my needs and my wants. And I'm not just talking about earthly things, inclusive of earthly things, but even more intangible things. I need peace, I have it abundantly. I need the renewal of my health, the restoration of my strength, abundantly. I need the operation of God's anointing on my life because I'm dealing with something. You can't use money to solve demonic attack. So there are times I need money to solve physical things, I have it in abundance. But when I am faced with something money can't solve, I have that anointing that work in my life abundantly. I need wisdom. It's happening abundantly. That's important to me. I don't want to ever put myself in a position where I am violating spiritual principles and then expecting that what should come forth from those principles are supposed to be working for me. I mean, that's stupidity. How can I be violating the principle of tithing, honoring God with my substance, the first fruits of my increase, and on the other hand, be claiming abundance that was released on the basis of that? Somebody shout covenant. Come on, shout it. They say covenant. Simple. So one time, it's not just one time. And the Spirit of the Lord has told me that many times. You see people who are arguing, and they're arguing, and they're arguing. This is right, this is wrong, this is not it, this is not it, this is it, this is not it. And the Lord will tell me, he says, son, never argue for your limitations. Never argue against your blessings. Never. If anywhere you see my blessing in the scripture is yours, take it. And if you see any principle I revealed that will cause you to activate, that will cause you to assess, that will cause you to obtain, that will cause you to translate that blessing from the spiritual realm into physical materiality, into a form you can enjoy here on earth. Once you see that principle, apply that for yourself. He told me, he said, even if you saw the principle under the law, he said, these things were written for your admonition. So even though you're not under the law, it's wise not to kill. You can't say, because I am not under the law. The law says, thou shalt not kill. The Ten Commandments, I am no longer under the law. The law said, that law, even though you're not under it, is wise. It's for your benefit. Every law I gave to man is for his good. The only thing is that the laws that he gave under Moses were so cumbersome, and it had only one purpose. That purpose, it was about rituals. It was about shadows. That purpose was for this: to show man his inadequacy, to show man his inability to keep the laws of God. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? Wave your hands if you're getting it. Say, I hear. Give God praise if you're getting it. So let's get back to what we are doing. Verse 11. I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground. So you make efforts and it works. Somebody under the sound of my voice, every cycle of laboring in vain has ended. You will never, I'm not talking to everybody, I know who I'm talking to. Whoever it is in the Spirit of the Lord is asking me to speak to you. Every cycle of futile labor, laboring in vain. You work so hard and you bring in so little. Even the little you bring in is as if you put it in pocket with holes. It has ended tonight. Shout light. That's all. Light. That's all. Light and darkness cannot comprehend it. Malindo Sandeling Gredeshka. From today, I speak the blessings of the Lord upon this house. You will be satisfied with plenty. You will enjoy the fruits of your labor exceedingly in the name of Jesus. You will never labor for nothing. He will not destroy the fruit of your ground. Watch this. Nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit. For you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. This is where my focus is on. Verse 12. Hold your neighbor and read that scripture to your neighbor and read it out loud. One, two, go. Did you see Isaiah? The nations shall come to your light. This one is when they now come, they call you blessed. You know what it means? They are calling you blessed. When people call you blessed, they bless you. Did you hear? Whoever blesses you is blessed. There are people that tell me, say, Pastor, you're like our altar. Anytime I want something to open up, I come and bless you, sir. I've had people that will tell me, say, Pastor, whether you say anything or you don't say anything, we just minister to you. Some will even come here and say, Pastor, just say a word. Just any word. And you notice they are waiting. And this didn't start when I became a pastor. I told you stories. It started long before I became a pastor. This thing is real. People just want to please you. And people who are unaware of this blessing, and people who are not appropriating and receiving this blessing to themselves and assessing it, activating it, see it work on their lives, just call it luck. It's like the person is lucky. There is nothing like luck in this thing. People just get pleased with you. They get satisfied with what you do. You're not the best of all singers. There are so many other singers who have better voices, more quality voices. They can play, they can run scales, they can sing all the, they are very skilled. They have it. Some others are very charismatic. They can jump. They are real entertainers. But there is just this thing about you. Just this thing. Everybody just wants to listen to you. They just want to. I know that's why favor ain't fair. That's what makes the nations and others begin to envy you. Because some people know that they are better. They know it should be them. They know if everything is fair and just, it should be us. Why you? But while they are bitter and they are complaining, God still keep raising you higher and higher. Somebody shout amen. Amen. People just get satisfied with your work. They just get satisfied. If every time you do something, they're always complaining. Everybody, you're here, you're a fashion designer from here, and it's not just about excellence. Every time you do something, they're always complaining. Favor is not yet working. You can tell when favor is working and when it's not working. You can tell. Hey, there is someone else that just learned how to sew. And the person made clothes. It wasn't so excellent. Somebody came and said, wow, you tried though. It's not perfect, but wow, I'm impressed with you. There is somebody I know. This person is very perfect. In fact, this line that you didn't run well, if you go there, I will even pay. I just don't know why I like you. I will pay for you to go and do perfecting training in that place. And the person will wear your clothes, put it on, I say, cloth designed, because he wants to introduce you to her circle. Want to introduce you to his circle. And yet what you did was not perfect. That leads us to the next one. Favor qualifies the unqualified. And in case it wasn't working and you were disqualified, now you know it and you activate it. It qualifies the disqualified. This is real, oh, Israel. Israel. Hear me. Why is the Holy Spirit making us to stay on this message? Why?
If you don't learn how to walk in God's favor, and you don't learn from the Holy Spirit how to increase in favor with God and with men, life will be hard, though. Life will be hard. Life will be hard. And success will be so far, and it will take too long, oh. Hey, I'm telling you. Favor is what God uses to shorten the journey. That's what he uses. So possess that verse 12 for yourself and read it out very loud. 1, 2, go. Blessed. For I am a delightful land. No, he has already said it, so let's just possess it. 1, 2, go. All nations call me blessed, for I am a delightful land. Anywhere I go, I'm favored. Everyone that sees me favors me. Everyone that hears of me favors me. People just like me. Even those who don't like me and envy me don't even know how they just got start liking me. Even the people that criticize me is because they like me, they want to be like me, they just don't can't be like me, and then they don't know how to say it, and then they criticize me. There is what we call the blessing of blamelessness. Let me leave that one. It's another dimension. So the fifth one is that favor qualifies the unqualified and also the disqualified. Favor breaks normal protocols, and overrule natural limitations to benefit the one that is favored, to give you the advantage. Favor breaks normal protocols and overrule normal and natural limitations to benefit the one that is favored, to give you the advantage. So I preached a message last IFPC. That message, if you're really, really, really serious about your life, go and get it. When your miracle is against the law. So your miracle, your promotion, your lifting may be against the law, but God's favor will still run it. Did you get it? Maybe only 3 people got it. I say your miracle, your promotion, your lifting may be against the law, but God's favor will still run it. Your healing may be against the law, but God's favor will still run it. Your restoration may be against the law, but God's favor will still run it. Shout, favor ain't fair. Ain't fair, but I'm not timid. I'm not timid about receiving it. If God chooses to favor me, here am I. Come on, Lord, let's take the ride. Oh, God's favoring me makes you feel like it's okay. I love you anyway, but I'm not going to stop receiving favor because you don't like how I'm favored. Because you don't think I should be the one favored. Because you think you know some things about my past and why. For in life, why should somebody who has that kind of past be favored like this? Because you're judging me. If God chooses to favor me, who am I? The only thing I can do that will please him is to be bold enough, believing enough, courageous enough, engaging enough to receive it. Come on, I carry favor on my life. The favor of the Lord is resting on me, resting on my family, resting on Lamb Global, resting on Love Sons, resting on everything God has called me to do. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord. You're getting it right. Number six. The sixth expressions of the blessings of favor. Favor attracts goodwill towards you. Favor, are you writing? Favor attracts goodwill towards you. People just desire to do you good. That's what it means. They have this favorable disposition, this good disposition towards you. People go out of their way and make sacrifices for you. Sacrifices to bless you. Attracts goodwill. You enjoy the goodwill of people. Daniel chapter 1 verse 9. Daniel chapter 1 verse 9. I would like you to read with me and read it as loud as you can. 1, 2, go. Daniel chapter 1 verse 9. 1, 2, go. Now, God had brought Daniel into the favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. Tell your neighbor, wherever you see favor, you see people's goodwill. Come on, say it again. Wherever you see favor, you see people's goodwill. I prophesy over you, from this day forward, you begin to enjoy the goodwill of people. Of your neighbors, of your clients, of your colleagues, of your classmates, of anywhere you go, even people in your family, in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. Seven. Favor gives you open doors to people. You have access, open doors to people, places, resources. Open doors to people, places, resources, things, and even opportunities that you wouldn't ordinarily have. Favor, divine favor, gives you open doors. So there are people that live their life and they notice that every time they want something, they notice that there is as if there is a force that keeps keeping those things away from them. Every time they need access, it's as if that access is restricted. What favor does is that he grants you open doors. Open doors. When I started understanding this, I knew that there is no one God wanted me to meet, God asked me to meet, God inspired me to meet that I couldn't meet. Nobody. Access. You just have access. Open doors. You know, we read in Luke chapter 2, verse 52, that Jesus Christ grew and increased in wisdom and in stature, but also increased in favor with God and with men. And you're going to see this kind of things play out in his ministry. For him to fulfill his prophetic mandate, his destiny, he needed the favor of God working on his life, even as a son of man, because he became flesh and came as man. So he needed favor. Every man on earth needs God's favor to fulfill what God has planned for you. Let's look at Luke chapter 19, verse 29 to verse 30. Let's see one of those times that favor played a role. And it came to pass when Jesus Christ drew near to Bethphage, Bethany, at the mountain called Olivet, that he sent two of his disciples. See what he told them. Everybody look at the next verse and let us read. And read out loud. One, two, go. Say, go into the village opposite you, where as you enter you will find what? A colt what? Tied. On which no one has ever lose it and bring it here. Look at the next verse. Continue reading. One to go. And if anyone asks you, why are you losing it? Thus you shall say to him, because the Lord has need of it. The master has need of it. And that's exactly what happened. And let me explain. This is not just dominion at work. This is favor at work. This court is one that no one has ever sat. If it is the one that has been sat, used, abused, left, and discarded, Kai! The Lord said, I should tell you, every time you go to certain places, you're always looking out for what people have used and discarded, what people have used and they don't have need of it anymore. The Lord said, I should tell you, it's a spirit. He said, stop it. He said, even if it is something you need the most, never take it. He said, it's not pride. The Lord said, I should tell you, whoever it is, it's not pride. He said, it's your faith violating. Your faith is violating the principle of poverty that has been in your generations. You're breaking the hold of familiar spirits over your mind. Generational poverty has been in your family for too long. And that's what is happening. Kaleno sandelimbra di sakataya. I'm speaking. God, the heavens are open. I'm hearing obungongo, obungongo. Whoever has this prophecy knows what I'm saying, because you've heard it over and over again. And even in prayers you've heard, and people have called you obungongo, and it's something you know, because it's like a badge. But it's not just a badge. The Lord told me, he said, it's a work of demonic spirits, familiar spirits. It makes you to gather and gather and gather. Everywhere you come, they are doing something. You gather and then you pack and then you pack. The Lord said, I should tell you to go and start giving all those things out. Go, not sell, giving all of them out and make space. He said, because new things are about to happen in your life. Libra, pray in the spirit. Pray in the spirit. Pray in the spirit. Something is happening in the spirit. Something is happening in the spirit. Libradosa. Clear the clutters. Clear the clutters. Clear the clutters. Mandikra de sopradeshka. Limbra nena nina lamanos. Walking in abundance. Moving with the speed of the Holy Ghost. I am faithful. I am walking in abundance, moving with the speed of the Holy Ghost. I am faithful. Hey, I am walking in abundance, moving with the speed of the Holy Ghost.
I am favored. I am walking in abundance.
Get me the communion ready.
With the speed of the Holy Ghost. I am favored.
It's a new season.
It's a new level.
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 It's a new season.
It's a new season.
It's a new season.
Something has
it's a new season.
It's a new season.
It's a new season.
It's a new season.
It's a new season. We've taken over.
We've taken over.
We're taking over.
Doors everywhere. Open doors everywhere. You need a coat, you get a coat. You need a You need a contact, you get the contact. You need a connection, you get the connection. You need a referral, you get the referral. Open doors. Open doors. Open doors.
It's a new season.
Open doors.
It's a new season.
It's a new season.
It's a new season.
It's a new season.
And it won't be leftovers. No, 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 no. I'm not the kind of person that people give out of pity. They give to me out of honor because they call me blessed. Because they call me blessed. Because I'm a fruitful field. Because I'm a fruitful land. I'm a delightful land. Hallelujah. 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 Hey, it's a new level.
Open doors everywhere. Open doors everywhere. Walking in abundance. Moving with the speed of the Holy Ghost. I am favored.
As you're praying, prepare your offerings, your tithes. Don't stop praying. Prepare your partnerships, your sacrifices. Your partnerships, your sacrifices. Your play. Don't stop praying while you're doing that. Libra de calls and the Libra Gadesh. Libra de Kaya Labadina. Ibarine Katos and the Libra Gate. Libra de Kari de Brones and the Libra Gaha. Ibaya Katos and the Libra Gata. Le brades on the libre gateya kaha. Le brande kaya la brades on the libre gata. Le brade kaya la brades on the libre gateya. Le brades on the libre gabayendo sundayaka. Lo baya el carosa kayeta. Le brades on the libre gepondeso. La baye cosa taya. Le brade kaya la dosa. Open doors, open doors, open doors, open doors. I have access. We have access. Hallelujah. Those of us that have our tithes and our partnerships, our special seeds, you have your pledges, whether you're giving.
Using the handle at My Lamb World or contact us at 006-275-3311 to purchase and listen to more life-changing messages by Pastor David Ifechukwu.